Hello, Texas, America, and the world. This is Mark Dankoff coming to you live from San Antonio, Texas on RBN on this Friday, September the 6th, 2024. Just wanted to remind all of you again that our network needs your support. So those of you in a position to do it, please support the Republic Broadcasting Network. And obviously, most of you know how to do that. If you're not familiar with how to do that, go to republicbroadcasting.org and support not simply this show, but all the shows on this network and all the technicians that actually make this thing happen. We're needed now more than ever as far as what is going on with American police state censorship of alt-right media or alt media generally. And I'll have something to say about that here in just a minute in regard to our roadmap and some of the things that I've already posted there for you. Suffice it to say, and it's in the roadmap, I'll be adding all kinds of links to the roadmap over the weekend so that you have a pretty good roadmap at this point. But it will be even better probably by tomorrow in regard to some of the things that I can't possibly cover in terms of time that I hope you will take a look at and avail yourself of the opportunity to read. Just a couple of housekeeping items. I wanted to extend my personal thanks to Congressman Chip Roy here in the 21st Congressional District in Texas. He finally has my mother on the schedule for Arlington National Cemetery. That was supposed to have been accomplished within 6 months of her passing. When it reached the 8.5 month point, I decided to inquire of his office and his very fine constituent services person, Anna Casanova, in conjunction with Congressman Roy, got that very easily resolved. My mother will be interred at Arlington National Cemetery on October the 15th. She has been gone since the 4th of December. She will join my dad at Arlington in Section 54. And I got a kick out of it. I heard from the cemetery superintendent who called me with the date, and I later got written confirmation of this. He said October 15th at 0900. So I got a kick out of that as far as the fact that I even have 0900. I even have the exact time that the military has committed to doing this. And my thanks to Chip Roy and Anna Casanova in his office here in San Antonio. And also thanks to the folks at Arlington National Cemetery that I know are under terrific strain in terms of the backlog of people that are waiting for these final arrangements to take place. Enough said about that. I've also have been busy trying to finish this radio and television studio here in my house that is presently in pretty good shape. The only problem is I'm having the floor replaced in this house, so all of this old rug in this studio will have to come up. I will have to get everything, including my extensive library, out of this room. Then these guys that I've known for a long time are going to come in and put down this porcelain tile floor that's been sitting in my garage for 2 or 3, 4 years now. I've lost track of time. Took me this long to be in a position to get it done. The good news is when it is done, I'll even be able to park my car in my own garage with everything that's going on in this place. And then last but not least, my wife has not been in the best of health. She's battling venous stasis dermatitis in conjunction with a battle with diabetes. It is not a great situation, but we're getting excellent medical care. And I just wanted to mention that to give you some sort of a context as to what my days tend to be like. And that has to involve research for this show so that I'm not simply getting on here and wasting your time. That research will continue, of course, through the weekend, as it always does. And I just think back to my old days with the Republic Broadcasting Network when John Stadtmiller first brought me aboard. I suddenly found myself doing the morning show for 2 hours, 5 days a week. And in those days, of course, it involved not simply my usual news research that I've been doing for years on a daily basis, but I found myself getting into guest recruitment in a way that I don't really have the time to do much of now, but from time to time there will be a guest on this show who will be worth your while. But for those of you who have ever done guest recruitment for a radio or television operation, that is in itself a full-time occupation. So that's the one area where I tend not to do for you what I used to do 5 days a week. And boy, I tell you, in those days, that was strenuous business. I'm still glad that I'm with this network, and I'm still glad, of course, that people, especially in the international community, listen to this show. I don't have an exact fix on the number of Americans who are involved with listening to my show on RBN, but nonetheless, here we are. On your roadmap, you will discover that last week's show is up with a link to that roadmap and all of those stories that were posted at that point. Let's get in now to some not necessarily new stuff, but just developing stuff. Russia kicks Globo Homo butt, folks. Kursk, Poltava, Pokrovsk, Uglador, massive airstrikes everywhere. And the Slaviansk-Kramatorsk salient is perhaps the last major thing that Russia has to take after they engage in what they're doing in all of these other areas. And then that should be it for Zelensky. The massive airstrikes are literally that. I could put up all kinds of rather graphic links to airstrikes. I might put one or two of those up this weekend that give you a spectacular show for a few minutes, but that don't involve dead bodies and the sort of thing that I have to view every week when I'm looking at all of these international news sources that are covering the infantry action that's going on. Those things are dreadful. We all know that they're dreadful. I will try to be certainly involved in a modicum of taste in what I put up for our listeners. And but this is the story here, folks. The Kursk incursion is absolutely backfiring on Zelensky. The latest reports that I have on this idiotic operation of Zelensky and Sirsky involving Kursk, and I'll probably have more updated figures over the weekend. 8,900 casualties, say 8,900 casualties. They've lost 80 tanks, according to these latest statistics, which are from the Russian Ministry of Defense. But when you look at all the film footage that I'm looking at, I absolutely believe that these statistics are ballpark. I think the specialists in this field that I consult for you are all in agreement that this is basically correct information. Give or take a few dead, give or take a few tanks. And I've lost track of how many hundreds of armored vehicles of all types and descriptions that the brilliant team of Zelensky and General Sirsky have managed to lose in Kursk. But it's absolutely ridiculous just how tragic this is as it pertains to the fact that they are beaten, folks. The question as to how much further they are going to have to be beaten into the sand, possibly even annihilated, for this war to stop. And that's not simply people like Zelensky and Sirsky involved in this. It clearly involves all of the backers of Globo Homo, chiefly the United States government, especially with the Biden-Harris administration, but not exclusively so. You can blame the British in this. You can blame all of these governments that are a part of the European Union. And last but not least, you can blame NATO, a totally worthless organization, in terms of having any legitimate defensive role to play in the defense of what remains of the West. Then I have to ask myself, what remains of the West when you have the demographic shifts that have been deliberately going on at the behest of Globo Homo that are creating an entirely different non-Western constituency of varying types in these Western countries? The other thing is LGBTQ, folks. Those of us who come from an older European Christian base in this country, the United States, and I'm being as broad as I can possibly be in including both the Eastern and Western churches and the best churches of the Protestant Reformation. For those of you who are not Roman Catholic or are not Eastern Orthodox, the best people in the Protestant tradition, the tradition of the Protestant Reformation, Lutheran and Reformed, have been a great part of the history of this country, along with the Anglican, traditional Anglican movement and tradition. But boy, I'm telling you now, folks, that is not the way it's going in the United States now. So when we hear all of this garbage about NATO providing the defense of the West, NATO is not doing any such thing. The West is already on oxygen because of internal decadence and corruption and staggering sovereign debt totals, especially in the United States, not to mention this absolute moral and spiritual and family declension that has taken place both in the United States and in Britain and in Europe, Western Europe, especially for a very long period of time. NATO is all about BlackRock profits, and it's about profits for Goldman Sachs. It's about profits for the military-industrial complex of the different Western countries, especially in the United States. It's all about interfering in other people's business, because the ultimate purpose of NATO, folks, it has been transformed over many years, not into an organization defending the West from international communism, as it were. That was the line many years ago, but Robert Taft understood when the United States went into NATO, he saw the dangers downstream, all of which have happened. So we don't have Taft up on the board today in regard to what he said about NATO many, many years ago, but it's all happening. NATO is all about world government and global central banking and supporting the Zionist state of Israel and supporting the police states that are being enacted in the Western countries, including and especially the United States, in regard to media censorship and downright crookedness in terms of trying to alter the course of national elections. So if you think that that's something that's worth fighting and dying for and taking other people's lives, God bless you, but you really are screwed up if you believe that. We need to understand here that this is all about naked aggression. It's about world government. It's about Zionism and central banking and BlackRock and Goldman Sachs and all of these other folks. That's not something worth killing or dying for, and it's something to be avoided at all costs. So anyone who understands this on the alternative right or left globally is absolutely agreed with what I'm saying on this point, even if otherwise they tend not to agree with some of my American domestic social views on the alt-right. But there you have it, folks. I haven't put up a lot of stuff on the war itself because it's plain what's going on. I will get one or two of the best links of that up for you so that you can see in terms of Kursk and Poltava and Pokrovsk and Ugledar and all of these massive airstrikes everywhere in Ukraine, that all of that is going Russia's way and will continue to go Russia's way. And particularly in the Donbass, the Slaviansk Kramatorsk salient will be absolutely key to a final victory for Russia when the Russians take it in their own good time. I have basically underscored something that I think is a big issue in terms of what's happening in the United States. We all know it. I have just put it up there as a topic. Russia versus Ukraine plus Israel. This equals an American disaster in 2024, folks, domestically and as well internationally. Let me just read a few things that I have up there on the board for you. And at some point, Dr. Slattery may appear. I understand that he was in an undisclosed location the other night in a major American city. I won't tell you which one. But he actually, at the banjo club that they have in this particular American city, he was involved in singing a live rendition of his own of Eddie Arnold's Anytime. I don't know how much he had to drink that night. If he does show his face on this show before it ends, we will ask him if he was completely sober or if in fact, maybe he had one or two. He is not known for drinking, folks. So his drinking credentials are very suspect, probably zero. So I guess he just felt like doing this. But if he does come on, we definitely will get him to bring us up to date with his rendition of Anytime, along with his political ideas and analysis of who he told us would be his candidate to vote for in an extremely bad year. Here's one from Aussie Cossack, by the way. Those of you who have ever followed Syrian Girl, and I know what her real name is, but she has been in Vladivostok at this big economic conference there, and she has said the following: Russia and Palestine are facing a similar beast. Remember Revelation 13, folks? The beast. We are both fighting something which is being led by the United States of America and the liberal world order. I would say by the Jews who have hijacked the United States of America. We'll get to that later. We are two fronts of the same war, she says, and that is World War III. Zelensky, she says he wants to turn Ukraine into a second Israel. And by that, he means a terrorist organization. And if you're not simply following what the Russians are doing militarily, but what Zelensky and Syrsky have been up to, both in Donbass as well as in this Kursk incursion, you'll see what criminals these people really are. And I will underscore a little bit later in terms of this news summary, Zelensky's banning of the canonical Ukrainian Orthodox Church, the UOC, and the fact that that has been taking place at the point of a gun. This is all being accomplished by a guy who is not only acting as an international criminal, which is what Zelensky is, but we must remember that this guy does come from the synagogue of Satan. And so when it comes to dividing the Orthodox Church and confiscating Orthodox Church property and putting priests in jail and roughing up parishioners, this is what this guy is all about, and that's what these people are all about running Globo Homo in the United States. It's not simply the fact that they want to do this in Ukraine as a means of getting at Russia. These people want to destroy not only Orthodox Christianity, the canonical version of it, they want to largely persecute the Christian church worldwide. Which means that those of you who are in the United States listening to me, or anywhere else, but in this particular case, we're talking about Texas and the United States. If you belong to a traditional, godly, moral Christian church of the West or of the East that has not bowed the knee to Globo Homo and LGBTQ, whether you recognize it or not, the bums that are running the United States government plan on, at some future juncture, trying to pull off the same stuff here that your tax money has been supporting in Ukraine, simply to install an illegitimate government by coup d'etat, and then to use it to encircle Vladimir Putin. And it's not working. Eddie Arnold joins us with Make the World Go Away as we go to the first break. You're listening to Mark Dankoff live from San Antonio on RBN. Stay tuned.
Make the world go away.
I'm so excited to have you as part of the Wild Pastures family, and we look forward to bringing you the pasture-raised meats that you and your family will love. Now, we started Wild Pastures because so many of my clients would tell me they just couldn't find high-quality pasture-raised meats, and even when they did, it was so expensive that they couldn't afford to eat it regularly. Now, I'm not talking about the bottom-of-the-barrel healthy meats that have claims like natural or free-range or even cage-free, terms that were actually created by the industrial food industry to make us feel all warm and fuzzy about buying their low quality products. I'm talking about truly nourishing pasture-raised meats, the kind that you'll never really find in a grocery store. Our farmers are doing things beyond organic. Our beef is 100% grass-fed and grass-finished and raised on pastures free from chemicals and other pesticides. Our chickens are 100% pasture-raised, where they get their natural diet of grass and forage and insects. We will never settle for free-range, which is actually one of the most deceptive terms in the chicken industry. In fact, less than 0.1% of the chicken consumed in the United States is truly pasture-raised in the way that ours is. And our pork is 100% pasture-raised as well. So if you care about where your food comes from, then you have definitely made it to the right place. As a Wild Pastures member, you'll be supporting the most highly principled farmers in America and getting the most nutrient-dense, nourishing, and sustainable meats in the world. But I'm confident you'll love being part of our mission at Wild Pastures, and you will really love the delicious, nourishing meats that we're going to deliver straight to your door.
Visit republicbroadcasting.org and click the Wild Pastures banner ad. Secure a shipment today. Beef, poultry, and pork raised the way nature intended.
Health Simple with Kalwara Shilaji, fact bit number 3. Shilaji is the supreme yoga vaha. Within Ayurveda, Shilaji is the singular substance that towers above all other herbs, herbal minerals, and earth-made adaptogens. Yogavaha refers to substances that have the ability to synergistically make better and carry other substances to its prescribed destination. In the case of Shilaji, most any herb, food, or mineral is amplified with ionic potential, superimposing superior efficacy with increased cellular energy and absorption rates. One of the best applications for Shilaji is to add a drop or two into your favorite herbal tincture and foodstuff. Simply put, Shilaji makes other substances more effective.
Look for the Gold Mountain and Medical Symbol logo and banners on republicbroadcasting.org to watch the full video and see more information. Use code GORBN when ordering. That's GORBN.
That old cowpoke went riding out one dark and windy day. Up on a ridge he rested as he went along his way. When all at once a mighty herd of red-eyed cows he saw, a-plowing through the ragged skies and up a cloudy draw.
Yippee-i-yay! Yippee-i-yo-ho! The Ghost Riders in the sky.
Take that, Slattery. Eddie Arnold, Ghost Riders in the Sky. We are back on the Dan Koff Report on this Friday afternoon. Let's take a look at several stories on this roadmap that I think are absolutely critical to our understanding of what is happening in this Russian-Ukraine war and what a complete butt-kicking this is really turning out to be for the Zelensky regime, which is a good thing. The sad thing is that a lot of innocent people whose lives should not be lost in this conflict, who are on the Ukrainian side, are going down the tube. It's an absolutely incredible thing to sad thing to watch. And so, in just a second, I understand Dr. Slattery is with us. We will be getting to him in just a second, so I can ask him about a couple of these things.
Yeah, and Poltava. I'm with you, Mark. Can you hear me?
Yeah, I can barely hear you. You sound like you're in a toilet at that banjo club.
Oh, my God. Am I in a toilet? I don't want to be in a toilet.
No, politically you're not, and intellectually you're not, but you sound like you're in one in terms of broadcasting power.
Maybe I can rejoin, and that might fix it if my sound is that bad.
Actually, you've just improved in recent seconds.
Okay, good. All right.
All right. Let me mention something about Poltava, folks. The Russians bombed this place into the Stone Age a couple of nights ago. And this particular place was the center for the 170th Joint Training Center. Now, when you consider the number of people who were killed in this strike, Ukrainian sources are now reporting 600 to 700 killed and wounded in Poltava, chiefly in this 179th Joint Training Center. It is highly likely, says Intel Slava, that we have witnessed the deadliest strike of the war, which will surpass the strikes on the mercenary barracks at the Yavoriv training ground in 2022, the barracks of the 79th Brigade of the Ukrainian Armed Forces in 2022, and the barracks of the training center in Desna 2023. Moreover, in the case of Poltava, it is obvious to everyone that it was the military that was hit by the high-precision strike. Having said that, and I'm going to ask Dr. Slattery to comment on this, I am getting reports, not confirmed, that among the military officers and training people from NATO who were among the victims in this strike, we don't know how many of them were killed, but there's been one interesting report from Russian sources that there was an American Army officer with links to NATO and links to this so-called training center, 179th Joint Training Center, who lost his life. And in this particular case, I'll have this guy's particulars up on the big board, your roadmap, either today or tomorrow. But the Russians are claiming that although it isn't absolutely confirmed, the United States military is putting out the story that this guy died in Poland as a result of quote-unquote unintentional murder. You decide what that means, folks. The Russian story on this is that this American Army colonel, lieutenant colonel or full colonel, I think he was a light colonel, who lost his life, was in fact killed in this airstrike in Poltava, which is just one of a series of places where the Ukrainians are just taking it on the chin everywhere in regard to airstrikes. Dr. Slattery, what do you think of the possibility that the American military and the American military media is making up stories about where this Army colonel lost his life?
Well, right. It's possible. Poland obviously is about as close as you're going to get to. Where was this? In the outskirts of Kiev? Or
yes,
I'm not sure.
Poltava. Poltava is kind of in the as I recall from my geography lessons, getting ready for the show. I think it's in the center of Ukraine, but it's closer to Kiev than it would be to the Donbass, if I'm remembering my geographical briefing.
Okay. And so, you know, it's possible that he died there. I guess it's also possible that, many people were listed as injured. He possibly could have been injured and medevaced out to Poland where he died. But, yeah, I mean, it sounds like with the timing of this, if you had an American military officer die in Poland, all of a sudden, at the exact same time, it would sound like they're connected.
Yes. Well, you know, my reaction to this story, folks, is as following. When are we going to get, and the answer is never, but rhetorically, in terms of a question, when are we going to get, as Americans, and even as Western Europeans, the full story on how many mercenaries from these countries, including the United States, are there in Ukraine? How many active duty people are undercover in Ukraine representing the United States military or these other militaries, British and French and otherwise, that are a part of NATO and so forth? It would be interesting to know, because one gets the distinct impression that if we actually had figures, and of course the Western and American mainstream media coverage of this conflict from the beginning has been an absolute pack of lies. From start to finish, George Orwell could have had another book to add to 1984, where he's still alive, in terms of the absolute amount of lies and distortion and trash that the mainstream media and the United States government have been putting out in this conflict from the beginning. But in terms of active duty members of Western military organizations and mercenaries representing these different countries, I just wish we could tell our listeners, at least, give them what are believed to be reasonably correct numbers on just how many people fitting this description are in that country. I don't think we're going to be able to find out. Patrick, what do you think?
I don't think we're going to be able to find out. And this is one of the key points. How involved are we? To what extent is this a proxy war? To what extent are we actually involved in an act of war against Russia? You would think that's something that should be of interest to the American people. Do we have our own, to what extent are our own military involved in fighting or training or logistical support? It seems like a great deal.
Exactly, especially when they've been introducing weapon systems that the Ukrainians cannot possibly know how to operate.
Yeah, it seems like a big deal. I mean, it's bad enough that we get involved in wars that aren't declared by Congress. But lately, in this generation, past couple generations maybe, it seems like it's okay to be involved in wars that we're not even told about. You know, were we ever told that we were at war in Syria? Were we ever told about
exactly.
it?
Exactly. Or that we helped to create ISIS and Al-Qaeda for that Syrian conflict, folks. That's where Syrian Girl, if she was on this show, could provide the absolute evidence on that. But the American people, whether you're talking about lives lost on the American side or a much greater figure of foreign people in different areas who've lost their lives because of this global homo world government Zionist madness, or the amount of money that has been stolen from the American public to support the military-industrial complex and some of the chief financial management companies that are around. Our electorate is absolutely comatose, at least, and Patrick, you're old enough, as I am, to remember the Vietnam War. My dad was in it as an Air Force officer, but we all, you and I, remember the 1968 Tet Offensive. We both remember the RFK and Martin Luther King assassinations. We remember the deepening involvement in the Vietnam situation that really began to go south in terms of public opinion. In the 1968 Democratic National Convention, folks, if you don't remember what was going on at that time, go back and check that out. The point is, whatever side you were on, if you were old enough to remember this, whatever your understandings today might be about the Vietnam War, the fact is there was more than strenuous debate on this. People sadly lost their lives in the United States, at Kent State and elsewhere, over this conflict. But compare that with the passivity of now. And I think you'd agree with that, Patrick. Our electorate is absolutely brain dead.
That's a good point. So on the one hand, we haven't been told. On the other hand, it seems as if people are cool with not being told. They don't really need to know about it. Now, they need to know everything about abortion or trannyism. I mean, this seems to be what they care about. But whether our military is fighting in various countries, in Syria or Ukraine or maybe Yemen or somewhere in Africa, that's that's not our business, right? It's a real sad commentary that not only are we not told, but that there's no pushback. Nobody seems to care.
And then, yeah, and absolutely.
The sadder thing is the things that they actually do care about. That's also sad.
Yeah, it is what it is, folks. It's grim and it's unbelievably dangerous to compare the alertness of the American public of when I was a boy to something like the Cuban Missile Crisis and the fact that we are closer, in my view, to a third world war now than at any time since October of 1962. But the American public does not seem to understand, as we are now in the middle of a new pro and college football season, that their lives are absolutely on the brink in terms of potentially being lost or ruined because of a tragedy largely created by the United States and the Western countries, who are in turn controlled by global homo and the forces that I believe are actually behind this. I'm going to ask you a question, Patrick. We'll discuss a little bit, then I'll bring Vinny into this conversation from Indiana. South Front, I'll mention on the road map, new evidence linking Biden crime family and the neo-Nazi junta. That's an excellent story. Gets into a lot of stuff, folks, where Joe Biden's, the blood of all of this is on his hands and his sons and the cabal that was behind the coup d'etat of February 2014. And everything else that followed, including the Odessa trade union fire. We'll leave that briefly for another time to discuss. But let's take a look at this story, Patrick. And I know I had sent this to you a couple of days ago, maybe. I have a source. There's nothing sinister here. She's a Serbian lady on the Contacta, knows English very, very well. And posts all kinds of excellent things that I might miss otherwise. She sent to me via VKontakte the other day a photograph, and it shows Tulsi Gabbard with Rabbi Shmuley Boteach, of course. And Boteach is quoted as saying that he's really glad that RFK Jr. And Tulsi Gabbard are joining the Donald Trump campaign. In this regard, Dr. Paul Sheldon Foote of Cal State Fullerton, an Iran expert, by the way, sends me a video that's a part of Candace Owens' YouTube video site entitled RFK Jr. Attacks Me for Rabbi Shmuley, and she has a question mark with exclamation points. That's her 59th episode on YouTube, talking about what we've already discussed on this show, which is the very thick link between RF Kennedy Jr. and Rabbi Shmuley Boteach. And that connection, folks, is so thick that one can be excused for suspecting that RFK Jr. is in the back pocket of the Israeli lobby. We've known this about Trump for a long time, obviously, especially with the people that were in his first administration and his sources of funding, which now, by the way, really includes the Republican Jewish Coalition big time. That's up in your roadmap, a Jerusalem Post article discussing how the Republican Jewish Coalition figures they're going to play into this in terms of getting Trump the Jewish votes he needs in key battleground states. But now we've got Gabbard linked to all of this. Before I bring Vinny into this conversation briefly, Patrick, what do you make of that? I've always liked Gabbard, and you've always liked Gabbard, had some respect for her. I frankly have to say now, especially with this absolute genocidal situation going on in Gaza, the way that Netanyahu is trying to drag the United States into that mess, plus an illegitimate war he wants to get started with Iran, I have to say that Gabbard either isn't very well informed in all of this, or perhaps there's a more sinister explanation. What do you think?
Okay, so with Trump, Trump has said some really retarded things regarding Gaza and Israel. The one, if you want to call it redeeming, feature of Trump is he's very unpredictable and unreliable. So, I mean, he's unreliable to us. I think he could be unreliable to the Jews who think that they're buying him off. That's not hopium. That's not hopium. I'm not saying that's probably going to happen. I'm just saying with Trump, you never know with Trump. He's just a wild card. But right now, what he's saying isn't good. With Kennedy, Kennedy does have this history of being pro-Zionist and pro-Israel. And it's no coincidence that it was only like a couple days after October 7th that not only was Kennedy saying these pro-Israel things, but he lost his campaign manager, Dennis Kucinich, a former presidential candidate himself, who decided rather than running Kennedy's presidential campaign, he would just run for Congress himself. He's a former congressman. With Tulsi, it's not as if I follow her on Twitter and am able to have a comprehensive idea of everything that she's been saying the past 11 months. But when I have heard her, she always seems to avoid speaking specifically about Israel and the genocide, for better or for worse. I mean, it's better in that at least she's I haven't heard her speak in support of Netanyahu's actions. But I can't say that she never does. Because I don't have a comprehensive view of what she says. It seems like she's kind of trying to thread a needle to make herself still viable as a Trump cabinet member while not completely selling out. Now, this Rabbi Botox or whatever his name is, he's a real sleazy character. He runs a porn shop or an adult sex toy shop, a dildo shop, with his daughter. And it's not a secret. It's just bizarre. This is such a sleazy, slimy, unattractive person. Why is he friends with anybody? Why is he a high-profile person? That is just a sad commentary on America.
I will get some additional stuff on Boteach up on the roadmap of that type. So it begs the question for me, if you know this, Patrick, and I know this, how is it that Tulsi Gabbard and Robert F. Kennedy and Donald Trump don't know this? They have to know this, folks. I can't believe that they possibly can be ignorant of this. But this is precisely where we are at this particular point. I'm going to bring in one other topic here.
Just a quick question.
Yeah.
So with Kennedy, we know he has a relationship with Boteach. With Tulsi, so Boteach said, oh, he welcomes her being part of the campaign. Is there anything other than that that we know that connects them?
I'm going to be delving into that more this weekend to see what I can find out about this. The fact that, you know, this was Boteach was running this apparently on his Twitter account, and it was picked up by somebody else, and this Serbian source I have on VK then sent it to me and posted it to other people on VK. That makes for some very interesting additional research. That's going to be a priority for me in coming days, and hopefully to get some stuff in the roadmap that will clarify just how deep this connection might be. But so you're asking the rhetorical question of the week, it seems to me, in terms of research. I want to mention two other things here, folks, and we're going to bring Vinny into this conversation. Geopolitics is running a story entitled, Is a Democrat Defeat Only a Matter of Time? The New York Times has become reminiscent of authoritarian regimes in its efforts to keep Democrats in power. They even produced the photographic evidence from the New York Times. Imagine having an op-ed in the New York Times that says, elections are bad for democracy, the First Amendment is out of control, the Constitution is sacred, is it also dangerous? And this, of course, is running at the same time that we've posted footage of Kamala Harris before the NAACP saying that she would make it a priority to have government censoring misinformation and what she defines as hate group or hate posts. Think about that one, folks, and then we'll mention one additional thing that buttresses what I want to ask both you and Vinny about, Patrick, and that is, well, two things. Jackson Hinkle, a well-known American journalist, has been over in Vladivostok at the Eastern Economic Forum. It is Jackson Hinkle who informs us, folks, what is going on with this police state censorship in the United States and in the West. Now, of course, you start getting into names. Pavel Durov of Telegram, Dmitry Symes, Julian Assange, of course, Scott Ritter. And Jackson Hinkle himself has mentioned that he is highly concerned that he could be next in regard to having appeared in Vladivostok at this conference and having spoken his mind on what is really going on with this business of deep state censorship. Jackson Hinkle, folks, in Vladivostok said he blamed the Biden regime, specifically saying, quote unquote, the biggest issue the deep state is trying to crack down on is, quote, people who are trying to stop World War III, unquote. And then in yet another story from Aussie Cossack, Hinkle is quoted in Vladivostok as saying that the West is becoming satanic. Christians are being persecuted. Meanwhile, in Russia, he says, Christians are safe and protected, unquote. And then geopolitics weighs in again with a report on a political witch hunt. U.S. activists go to trial in Florida accused of acting as Russian agents. CBS News did the original story on this. You read the profiles of the people involved, folks, and it looks almost on a prima facie basis that this is nothing more than a police state level of activity in the United States that involves these folks, one of whom is 82 years old. The attorney for that particular activist says that while the civil rights group shared many goals of the anti-globalization movement of Russia, I would suspect most of us who work for RBN could say the same thing, that we would agree with a lot of that, even though I haven't gone down the list of what that organization advocates. But the attorney says they were not acting under the Kremlin's control. The judge handling the case said it's unrelated to claims of Russia interfering in the 2016 presidential U.S. presidential election. All four activists have pleaded not guilty. Now, this is where I will bring Vinny into this conversation. Vinny, are you there?
Yes, I am.
Good. I'm not hearing you too well, but I know you're there.
I'm here.
Okay, I can hear you. Vinny, okay. With this whole business of what is going on with the destruction of any kind of free amendment, First Amendment free speech in this country, especially with the various people, which involves us here at RBN, with alternative media, where do you see this going? Do you think, do you agree with Jackson Hinkle and Vladivostok that the biggest priority for the deep state is muzzling anybody who's trying to warn the American public that we could be involved very shortly in a third world war? What's your take?
Well, I just think it's a recycling of the Russia, Russia, Russia card. I mean, I don't know.
Yes.
I mean, I don't know if they're going to get any new converts to that, but, you know, it's going to definitely draw out the people who, you know, the Trump haters. I mean, it's locking up that vote, but I don't think it's really going to go anywhere. I mean, clearly they're cutting the legs out from under of the kind of centrist gatekeeper people who have access on YouTube. You know, a lot of people who go, you know, a lot of people who aren't on YouTube, you know, they're not affected. It's people who are actually, you know, they're trying to say that Tim Pool is a Russian agent. I mean, he's been a gatekeeper for them for years. I don't understand it.
Yeah, and when it reaches the point where some of these people are having their homes ransacked by the FBI, and where in several cases, Durov's case in France, he's arrested, it just begins to compound the nature of what it is that we're talking about. I got to take one more caller, Vinny, but I want to bring one more story to the front on the air. Thank you for calling. I've got somebody in Vancouver who wants to get on, and I will try to get him on very quickly as I read this last story. Folks, Germany. Is Germany the hope for American populists and nationalists like us? Anti-establishment parties have triumphed in Germany's regional elections, delivering a blow to Chancellor Olaf Scholz. The Euroskeptic Party, Alternative for Deutschland, on the right, won a regional ballot for the first time, surpassing Scholz's ruling coalition. AfD secured 32.8% in Thuringia, leading the race, followed by the Christian Democratic Union with 23.6%. In Saxony, the Euroskeptic Party garnered 30.6%, losing to the CDU by a narrow margin. The Alliance Sarah-Wagen Connect, BSW, that's the left alt-party, folks, non-establishment party, claimed third place in both races with 15.8% in Thuringia and 11.8% in Saxony. Now, I have some additional information from one of my news sources that, in fact, if the Alliance Sarah-Wagen Connect Party, the BSU, wanted to create a coalition with a party in Germany to have even more clout, that they lean to the so-called Christian Democratic Union instead of the Alternative for Deutschland, which is where I think a coalition deal should be made for future elections. That's an editorial remark on my part. Jared Taylor for the UNS Review, by the way, has one up there today entitled Germany for the Germans. Patrick, I'm going to bring you into this. And at the same time, James in Vancouver, after Patrick finishes, give me your own take on anything you want to. But, you know, maybe this German story, which we in the roadmap have something up on this Volkswagen plant closures in Germany that follows what I've already taken a look at. Patrick, what do you think of Germany? Is this some kind of hope that there could eventually be a populist coalition in that country that could be mimicked in the United States, or is it all smoke and mirrors there, too? What do you think?
Well, I mean, what's significant is that the Alternative for Deutschland, which isn't anti-Zionist, by the way, but otherwise
exactly.
It is German for the Germany for the Germans. They racked up about a third of the vote, and in Thuringia were the biggest vote getter, and then just barely behind the Christian Democrats in Saxony. And
exactly.
they've got the momentum with them. This woman who started the party, what was her name?
Sarah-Wagen Connect, the BSW, the Alliance Sarah-Wagen Connect organization.
And
BSW.
You know, what's puzzling is she shares a lot of the populist positions of the
Alternative for Deutschland.
Alternative for Deutschland. Economically, I mean, she's more left wing. But why then would she if she's more left wing economically, why would the Christian Democrats be a fit for her? Anyway, that's all I'll say.
Yeah, now you've identified what I think are two critical points to watch on this. One, folks, is that the Alternative for Deutschland historically has been Zionist friendly up to this point. I realize that given the situation in Germany, that could be a tactical position on their part, but that's got to be watched very, very closely. And then, of course, I have not figured out why Sarah-Wagen Connect and her BSW organization, which placed third both in Thuringia as well as in Saxony, would consider eventual an eventual coalition, perhaps with a Christian Democratic Union instead of the Alternative for Deutschland. We'll see how that plays out in Germany. Take a look at Jared Taylor's article on this for UNS if you get a chance. James in Vancouver, you are on the line with Mark Dankoff in San Antonio on RBN. What strikes your fancy?
Yeah, I think the Germans still feel that they are being manipulated since 1945 and before by certain aspects of the United States and its allies. So, but the question would be, is do you think that American foreign policy in Germany since 1945 has been a success?
It's certainly a disaster now. Now, you can argue, and I'm not sure if I still believe this or not, but at least in terms of keeping the old Soviet Union taking over all of Berlin and taking over Western Germany and Western Europe, at least the argument is made. This goes back to the Cold War. I'd have to reexamine my soul to say whether or not I would still say this now necessarily.
Right.
But during the Cold War, you could argue that the foreign policy of the United States preserved Germany from a takeover by the Soviet Union. Now, whether or not that's really true, or whether or not revisionist historians may have awakened us to other points of view on this that we ought to take a look at, I'm still wrestling with that. American foreign policy now, as it relates to Germany and Western Europe, is absolutely in the dumper, as far as I'm concerned. The United States needs to get out of Germany. The United States needs to get out of Western Europe. It needs to stop interfering in the sovereignty of nation states. As far as I'm concerned, the United States ought to get out of NATO, because it is absolutely, in my view, now is an alt-right, Pat Buchanan type of alt-right person politically. I think NATO is an absolute threat to world peace. That is about the business of being the military arm of this cabal that wants to create a world government. It says nothing to do whatsoever with
the famous picture of Nikita Khrushchev giving Nelson Rockefeller a big hug in 1958. Mm-hmm. Would you say that is an exact reflection of the Cold War?
Yeah, I mean, we can examine that, right, in terms of those of us who know anything at all about Nelson Rockefeller or the Rockefeller family generally. You're making a terrific point here, James. Maybe next week we can revisit this. Call me back next week.
I want to make
one
quick point.
Sure.
One quick point,
Pat.
About the irony that the Western countries, which didn't experience communism, are the ones that wound up experiencing mass replacement level immigration.
Yeah, there you go. It all looks quite different now, doesn't it? As we close the show down, as the theme music comes up, gun of the week, folks, the Bergama B-14 series in .308 Wind with a Zeiss 4x12-42 scope. Take a look at that recommendation. Gun safes, take a look at FortKnox.com. If you've got a bundle of money, if you don't, take a look at the Redfield 64 gun fireproof gun safe. Last but not least, Geopolitics reports that the commander of a U.S. Navy destroyer that's helping to protect the San Diego-based USS Theodore Roosevelt aircraft carrier in the Middle East has been relieved of his duties. Why? Well, he was seen 4 months ago in a photo firing a rifle with a scope mounted backwards. Don't go to him for your gun training, folks. Go to the Texas State Rifle Association if you are in Texas. That's the conclusion of this Mark Dankoff report on RBN. I will see you next week, and you got your roadmap. I'll keep adding good stories and good research. God bless.
John Moore, the Liberty Man. His website is second to none. Visit thelibertyman.com. Remember John Moore. From 7 to 10 and tune in. John Moore, the Liberty Man.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Because you can handle the truth.